We are continuing to study the Holy Spirit. And we're answering the question, how is the Holy Spirit our helper? Remember that the Holy Spirit, Jesus calls him the Parakletos, the helper. And the question we're asking is, how is he our helper? What is it that he does for us? One thing that he does for us is what we're going to look at today, a very wonderful, wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. Paul writes 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to teach the church in Corinth that every spiritual gift is important. Brother Jerry just led us in communion from 1 Corinthians 11. If you're still there, just turn over one page. If you're not there, please open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Please stand with me as we read the scriptures. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, I would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart? Pray that God would soften your heart and that the Word of God would go down deep. Pray that the Word of God would touch a soft, trusting, humble heart and that God would make you into the person He wants you to be today. Now would you pray for the other people in this room that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, that they would be blessed with a humble, soft, teachable, trusting heart, and that the Word of God would go down deep and change their heart too. Now would you pray for me? That I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully. Heavenly Father, as your word is preached all around the world today, we pray that your goodness and your greatness would be displayed. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As you can see, we have a large portion of Scripture today, and if you're a part of Trinity on a regular basis, you know that we usually will take a smaller portion and go, by God's grace, relatively in depth. Obviously, we have 31 verses today, so it's going to be more of an overview of this chapter. What is Paul's main point? 12:1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. As you know, the Old Testament is rich, rich, rich with all kinds of glorious information. You need the Old Testament. And I would encourage you to read the book of Isaiah when Paul says, mute idols. Isaiah in chapters 40 through 45 really goes into depth about what a mute idol is. He talks about the fact that an idol is simply a block of wood or a block of metal. Someone chops down the wood and here's two pieces. One they throw into the fire to warm their hands, another they worship. And how totally ludicrous that is. Brothers and sisters, read the Old Testament. It will bring the New Testament to life. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Before you and I trusted in Christ, we were blind and led astray by sin and Satan. We were dead in sin. We were deceived. You and I were living life according to Satan's lies. But now, God has shined His light into our hearts. We have seen the light, and we have, by virtue of seeing the light, we have believed that Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit has revealed the truth to us that Jesus is Lord. And with his help, we have embraced Jesus is Lord. Look at this beautiful passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. The God of this age, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I was talking to one of you earlier this week, and you talked about a relative of yours. And you have a burden for this relative, and you were sharing the gospel with this relative, and you said, "Pastor, I shared the gospel with them," and it was like there was this wall. And many of you have experienced that as you share the gospel with someone. This is the wall. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. Next slide, Chrissy. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," when did God say that? Creation. Let there be light. God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Marvelous. Marvelous. Anyone can say the words, "Jesus is Lord," and not mean them. But no one can truly see the light and behold the glory of God in the face of Christ and truly embrace the fact that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Look at verse 4 in your text. 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them to all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Notice that spiritual gifts are given for the common good. All Christians have spiritual gifts. In your notes, number one, each member of the body of Christ receives a spiritual gift. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Number two in your notes, a spiritual gift is a talent or ability given to you by the Holy Spirit to equip you to carry out your ministry. Praise God! How wonderful! In order for Trinity Baptist to be a strong, healthy church, I know that you are here because you want Trinity Baptist to be a strong, healthy church. Now listen, please. In order for Trinity Baptist to be a strong, healthy church, we need a great variety of people using a great variety of gifts. And that is Paul's point in 1 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Number three in your notes. The Holy Spirit decides who gets what gift. The Holy Spirit decides who gets what gift. He decides it, and he is the one that gives it to you because he is our Parakletos, our helper. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, is teaching that there are many different spiritual gifts, and they are all important. 1 Corinthians was written to the church in Corinth because they had many, many problems. And you do not need a Bible dictionary or an encyclopedia or commentary to find out what those problems are. All you need to do is read 1 Corinthians and the problems rise to the surface. Obviously, Brother Jerry read 1 Corinthians 11. We know that the Corinthian church was not celebrating communion correctly. So Paul writes chapter 11 to correct that. The Corinthian church also did not understand gifts correctly. They emphasized the importance of some and de-emphasized the importance of others. And he writes 1 Corinthians 12 to say all the gifts are important. This list is not all the gifts. The list in chapter 12 is just a sample of some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are other gifts listed in the Bible too. Let's look at them. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. If you're new to Trinity, you know that you'll want to keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 12. Ephesians 4:11. It is he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Notice verse 16. The body grows, how? As each part does its work. You have a role to play. Are you doing your role? In your notes, Trinity Baptist will be the church God has called us to be only when each member fulfills their God-given ministry. There are more spiritual gifts, and these gifts are so wonderful. Turn with me to Romans 12. Another wonderful list of gifts. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Amen. There's one more list. Please turn to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do so as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Notice the ultimate purpose of spiritual gifts: the glory of God. These lists, there are four lists, and if it should be easy for you to remember them. You just say 12, 12, 4, 4. 12, 12, 4, 4. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. Those are the lists. These four lists, maybe none of them are exhaustive. These four lists may not include all the possible spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives all believers spiritual gifts. Your spiritual gift is a gift. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. It's something to enjoy. It is something to praise God for. And above all, it is something to use for His glory. In your notes, it is a wonderful joy and privilege to use your God-given ability to carry out your God-given ministry. It is a wonderful joy and privilege to use your God-given ability to carry out your God-given ministry. God has given you and I the undeserved privilege of serving Him. And God has given you and I the talents and the abilities to do so. It is a wonderful joy and privilege to use your God-given ability to carry out your God-given ministry. So let me stop and just ask, what about you? What gift do you have? Who has God created you to be? Look at 1 Peter 4, verse 10, just quickly on the screen. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. My question to you, brothers and sisters, is have you done that? Or are you doing that? There is so much joy in using your spiritual gift. I testify to you right now that I love, love, love being a pastor. I love it. Why do I love it? Because God has gifted me to do it. What is your gift? What is your gift? Discover it and spend every day of your life using it to serve the Lord. Spend every day of your life using your spiritual gift to serve the Lord. It is the greatest life you could possibly imagine. Sometimes I go home at night and I can just cry tears of joy over the privilege of pastoring. It is the greatest privilege in the world, and it's because I'm using my spiritual gift. But more important than that, much more important than the joy, you should use your spiritual gift. Because the purpose of your spiritual gift is not to bring you joy. The purpose of your spiritual gift is to build others up. And ultimately, the purpose of your spiritual gift is to bring glory to God. And that's why you should use it. Look at verse 12 in 1 Corinthians. Hope you're still there. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Trinity Baptist Church is not a community service organization. It is not a social service organization. Trinity Baptist Church is not a social club. Trinity Baptist Church is not a building. Trinity Baptist Church is not a religious business where you come to receive religious services, worship, marriage, funeral, and so on. Trinity Baptist Church is none of those things. Trinity Baptist Church is a body. The body of Christ. Verse 15. I love this. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. Praise God. Verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? Paul has one point, and I'm going to apply it to Trinity Baptist Church. Your church needs you. Whoever you are, your church needs you. Number 7 in your notes. Just as the human body needs all the parts to do their job, so the church needs all the people to use their gift. What Paul is saying here is that we all need each other. We are all important and necessary to make a strong, healthy church. Maybe you are here today and you are thinking, I am not very gifted. Maybe you are here today and you're thinking, I am not very important. I can't offer something significant. I am not needed. Brother or sister, according to the Word of God, that is not true. We need you. Paul says the church is a body, and you have been given a spiritual gift. And we need you to use it. Look at verse 15 again. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. All the body parts in the church, all the people in the church are very, very important. Whoever you are, we need you. You see, we are all individuals. And you may have the same gift as someone else. In fact, as I look across the church today, I see people with the same gift. You may have the same gift as someone else, but you exercise it differently. We need you both. Give yourself the freedom. You're an individual. Give yourself the freedom to use your gift differently. We need you. We need everyone to play their part. Look at verse 20, chapter 12. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body, listen to this, look at this, Trinity. This is so fantastic. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. The parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While other presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Do you see someone in the church that seems to be weak or unimportant? God's word says they are absolutely necessary for this church. Do you feel unimportant? Do you feel like you don't have anything to offer? God's word says that all the parts of the body are necessary and important. We need you. You have a role at Trinity that we need you to play. Because we're a body. And the Holy Spirit unifies us. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. Now you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is part of it. We are the body of Christ. We must love, honor, cherish every member of the body equally. He closes with verse 28. More lists of gifts. Look at these wonderful gifts. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Number 8 in your notes. Everyone in this church has a spiritual gift that is needed for the proper and healthy functioning of the church. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? Number 9 in your notes. God has given you an eternally significant job to do. And He has equipped you to do it. You do not need to go out there to look for something significant to do. You do not need to search for meaning in your life. And please, don't waste your life by serving yourself. Don't waste your life by chasing the wind of the world. Don't waste your life by chasing money or power or fame or comfort. Don't waste your life by chasing pleasure. Your destiny is here. Your destiny is here. God has given you an eternally significant job to do. And He has equipped you to do it. Do you know what your gift is? And are you using your gift to serve the church? If you are not using your gift, there's two possible things that are happening. Number one, someone else has the privilege of doing your job. Or, number two, we have a need that is unmet. That's what's happening. In 1994, I was playing basketball. Yes, it was that long ago. I was playing basketball, and I was driving to the hoop. And I'm going to use the fact that Michael Tyler is not here today, he is ill, to say that I was driving to the hoop. Because he's a basketball coach, and he is not going to believe that this actually happened. But it did. I was driving to the hoop, and my left knee literally came apart. Went to the hospital, and I had reconstructive surgery that evening, and I was in a cast for what seemed to me like an eternity. My mother is here, so she probably knows how long it was. It was like 2 months, something like that. It seemed forever to her, too. I was in a cast for what seemed like an eternity. And the reason I'm telling you this is because those of you that have been in a cast, in particular a leg cast or an arm cast, know that what has to happen is the remaining limb does all the work. The remaining limb does all the work. And for what seemed like an eternity, my left leg was useless and immobilized and could not serve the body. My right leg did it all. My right leg did it all. And it was too much. It was too much. The body is not designed that way. And the church is the same, brothers and sisters. The church is the same. You have a role that we need you to play. And if you're not playing that role, someone else is doing their job and yours. And that person is overworked. Either that, or your job is just completely not getting done. We need everyone to play their role. So the question is, what do you do now? How do I know what my gift is? Number one, pray. Pray. Ask God to show you what your spiritual gift is. Very simple. Number two, study. Study the scriptures about spiritual gifts, praying that God would help you discover yours. Your elders and I are waiting to help you with that process. Remember 12:12:4:4. 12:12:4:4. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. And again, those lists might not be exhaustive. Next, seek. Seek advice from mature Christian people. Ask others their opinion. Find a mature Christian, a strong Christian that knows you, and say, brother or sister, what do you think my gift is? Very, very helpful advice. And lastly, serve. Find out, listen to how I've worded this, find out what ministry is needed and go for it. Find out what ministry is needed and go for it. Don't wait for the last one until you've completed the top three. Don't wait for the last one until you've completed the top three. Why? Because it is easier to discover your gift while serving than while sitting. It is easier to discover your gift while serving than while sitting. So what you do is you look at the body and you say, what is not being done? Maybe I'm supposed to do that. And you do it. And you pray and you study and you seek advice. And maybe that's not your gift. So you go, okay, that's not being done. Maybe that's my gift. You try all four. Begin serving, and you will find out what God has gifted you to do. Brothers and sisters, please listen to me for 2 more minutes. I'm going to share my heart with you. I've been sharing my heart with you for the past 40, but please listen. I did not prepare this sermon because there are jobs in the church that need to be done and I need to get them done. That is not my motive. I prepared this sermon because I want you to be obedient. I prepared this sermon because I want you to be obedient. This is not the pastor trying to get all of the church jobs done. This is the pastor trying to shepherd you. I know what my gift is, and I'm using it, and I don't want you to miss out on the same privilege. And that is my honest heart for you.